Real Money Radio is brought to you today by Holland Financial. Since 1997, David Holland and his team have helped hundreds of investors plan their financial futures. Planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. Come see how simple and clear your future can be when you plan stronger. The consultation is free. Call 671-PLAN or visit us online at planstronger.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I have a returning guest to help us really sort out and make sense of the current market environment. You know, I remarked to someone the other day, they said, you know, how do you keep up with all this stuff, David, when you're, you know, advising clients? And I got to confess, we don't, you know, try to figure all of it out on our own. We tap into other resources. We, you know, we subscribe to a lot of investment services to help us stay current. We go on the internet. We have, you know, we do all that stuff. In fact, the gentleman that helps me manage our client portfolios here in my office, Kalen, has a 46-inch flat-screen TV on the wall turned to CNBC all day long. Poor guy. But we also tap into experts who do this on a daily basis and who really follow the market. And I'm very pleased to bring back to you today a returning guest, Michael Sincere. And he is a columnist for MarketWatch. He's also an author. And he's written the book, Predict the Next Bull or Bear Market and When. And that is out recently, May 2014. His website is michaelsincere.com, just like it sounds. Michael, welcome back.
Thank you very much, David. Thanks.
You are one of those experts we go to really make sense of the market and what's happening. And, you know, there's been a lot that's happened since the last time I talked to you. You know, since the last time we spoke, the market has, of course, had some nice gains, but it's also become a little bit, I think, a little bit more tenuous, or there's maybe a few more questions. And I know that you watch this very closely. What do you make of where we are with the, you know, the markets, you know, and it doesn't have to be, you know, hey, as of today, but just a general trend. What do you see? What do you think?
Well, since the last time we talked, you remember the market went down over 300 points.
Yeah.
Which, you know, really was a warning sign. And when I went on the air the last time, that, you know, that was a warning. And now, at this time now, what happened is the volatility has returned to the market. And I still think we're in a dangerous market environment. I don't think that has changed. And I think that investors have to be even more careful than they were before.
Yeah, and speak to the volatility. Do you like to look at the VIX as kind of an indicator of the market volatility?
Well, I look at a lot of things. The VIX I do look at, I like looking at the sentiment indicators. And VIX was so low, which was a warning sign. It had gone down to 10 or 11. And that showed the complacency. Now, since that time, it's jumped up to about 17, which I call mildly complacent. I also look at the overall breadth of the market. And again, the breadth, you know, was so bullish. And the, you know, when you add to the VIX and the complacency, I just knew that something was going to happen. And but I will say that it's not as complacent as it was.
Well, and what's interesting to me about that, Michael, is that, you know, we look at the overall market and the volatility, and it's very curious the way you describe it, that, you know, the lower volatility indicates more complacency. And my listeners might say, well, lower volatility, isn't that a good thing with the market?
Yeah, it's really funny you ask that. Investors would like low volatility and a nice upward bullish market for years, which is kind of what we have, especially lately. But the truth is that is unrealistic. Markets can't go up forever, and the volatility really is what makes a market. Now, I know that extreme volatility makes investors, you know, very nervous. Traders, of course, love the volatility. Kind of something in between would be nice. But I would say if you have a complacent environment with market just going up, that is, to me, a danger sign. It just can't continue like that.
I agree with you. I think that's a very well put. We would love to have it. You don't get it that way. There's no 20% earning money market account where you can get full liquidity and make 20%. It just doesn't exist. There's no perfect investment. And you can't have high potential returns without there being that commensurate risk. And you mentioned the traders, which is very interesting. They like the volatility. Why, for our listeners, Michael, why do the traders like the volatility more than, say, that retail investor that just wants smooth sailing?
Yeah, well, the trader makes money on, you know, on the buys and the sells at the highs and the lows. So when there's volatility and they see extremes, they basically make money on the extremes. So when they feel that a market has been overbought or was sold, then they can make money that way.
I got you. So they take advantage of those swings to get in there and say, okay, I'll buy at this point, I'll sell at that point, and do that. That makes a lot of sense. So the current bull market, it's got to be getting close to being, if not the longest, it's definitely one of the longer in U.S. history.
Well, it really is. I would say that I'm starting to question whether it's still a bull market. I think it's really coming to the end at this point. I mean, that's just from what I'm looking at. I can't definitely say that. But yes, it's been a long one, especially that last year. I believe it almost went parabolic, I almost have to say. It went up without stopping, and of course investors were very pleased. And now they have a little taste of volatility.
Yeah, well, good morning, sunshine. Welcome to the jungle, because that's what you get when you have the market do what it did. And, you know, it's funny, when we had the 300 pullback, which wasn't that long ago, a lot of people said, oh, yeah, that's right, the market can go down.
Exactly. We went 2 years without a 10% correction, and that's just unrealistic. Almost every time in history, you know, you will have, you know, it goes up and down. You will have these pullbacks, which a lot of investors will say, or professionals will say, that's healthy. And it really is. It's when it goes up in a straight line, that is when it gets dangerous.
Well put. If you're just joining us, Michael Sincere is our guest, and he has written the book to really get into a lot of nuts and bolts about this. If you've got an interest in really understanding more about how the markets work and understanding them, the book is Predict the Next Bull or Bear Market and When, and michaelsincere.com is the website. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back with Michael. Stay right there.
Where can you find more spin than in politics? If you said financial services, you'd be correct. Ask a stockbroker how you should invest your money, and what do you think he'll say? Ask an insurance agent the same question, and what do you think you'll hear? Unfortunately, when an advisor is limited in what he can offer, he is often understandably biased. You'll need to ask questions. Ask advisors what products and services they can and can't offer. Ask about their licensing and credentials. Remain skeptical. This public service has been brought to you by Holland Financial. We want to help you plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I told you it would be a quick break, and here we are again. We have Michael Sincere on the line with us, and his website, again, is michaelsincere.com. He's written the book, Predict the Next Bull or Bear Market and When. Columnist on Market Watch, and we're real glad to have him. And we're talking before the break a little bit, Michael, about some of the warning signs that you're seeing. One of the other ones that was kind of interesting to me that I wanted to ask you about is it seems like some of these rallies that we've had of late to get a little sluggish.
You took the words right out of my mouth. That's exactly what I've noticed. And in fact, it's always wise to watch the rallies rather than the downturns. If you get that sluggish, sleepy kind of rally, that again is a warning sign, and I've been observing that, and it's quite good that you've seen that too. And and as it rallies, what you'll notice if we're ending the bull market, you'll see it rally and then turn over and start to go down, sometimes intraday.
Okay,
that's a warning sign.
Yeah, and that's also probably a sign. And again, it, you know, the market, we love to personify it and have it be a living, breathing thing, but it's the sum total net extent of transactions and people buying and selling. It's basically the net event or net effect of all those activities during the day, millions and millions and millions of shares trading hands. And so when you see that, you know, sometimes I've also recognized that, Michael, that, you know, sometimes you got people saying, okay, that's good. If it gets to this price, I'm coming out. And you see that surge of selling that can occur once something gets to that high and kind of, as you describe it, kind of turns over that rally.
Right, right. And, you know, I always say, as far as the selling, there's two times to sell, when you have a loss and when you have a profit. what a lot of people are doing is they're not selling at all. And I think this is a good time to look, you know, at your portfolio and decide, is this a time that, you know, you may want to reduce some of the stock that you have and possibly move to cash, at least increase that. I mean, when the market gets this dangerous.
You know what? That I'm going to hold that soundbite, Michael, is probably one of the biggest things you've shared with me. And for our listeners, I think I want to double underline what you just said, because that's really right on. If there's ever a time, you know, it's always the right time to do the right things with your money. It's always the right time to evaluate this idea that something gets to a certain point and that's the time. But when we see the markets behaving the way they are, I think you're spot on that now's a real good time to say, well, you know, maybe now is, and I have done this with people of late, maybe now is the time to reevaluate, and maybe we want to just hedge our bets. I'm not saying come out completely, but maybe you do want to recognize some of those profits or accept the fact that, you know, it's a good time to reposition.
Right. Well, one of the oldest rules of the stock market is buy low and sell high. And here we are at all-time high. I mean, we did go back a little. We've come off a few percentage points from the all-time high. And then people are saying, I'm going to buy at this high. And what happened to the buy low and sell high? So this is the time to reevaluate and get rid of some of the things that have no use in your portfolio. And I start with the losers. I mean, if
right.
anything past 7 or 8% I'm down on, I will get rid of it.
Now would be a good time to go ahead and recognize that, because you know, you do have some gainers maybe to offset. But, you know, that's another good point, Michael, that it is hard for people. It's one thing to see that paper loss, but it's a whole other thing to have to accept that, okay, no, you really are done. Because it's easy to dismiss. Oh, well, it's just on paper. So now's the time perhaps, huh?
Right. Well, I always say another one of those rules is sell when you want to, not when you have to.
Hmm.
And if you wait until everyone realizes, oh, wow, the market's going down a lot, and that panic sets in, that would be a little too late. And another thing I've learned is, since we talked, I was early. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I was saying that this market's in trouble a few months early. But I don't mind selling early. I don't mind being early. I'd rather be early than late.
That's another double underline for Michael. I totally agree. Let's be a little early. I'd rather do that than be late because it's obvious. One of the other things I think you've spoken to, Michael, I want to ask you about is about the investors. And I've read and heard you refer to this, the investor intelligence. You know, where are we? Where are investors with really kind of knowing where we are and being tuned into the markets?
Right. Well, the investor intelligence is really a survey of financial writers. And they do, and it comes out every week, and it's still very high. It's still very bullish, which is a contrarian view. I haven't seen the most recent, but it was above 50%, about 55%. It got as high as 60%, which means most of them are bullish. And when they're that bullish, when too many people are bullish, you tend to want to do the opposite.
Hmm.
And you don't use it for timing just because it gets to 60%. You don't say, okay, I'm selling everything. But it does tell you that the financial writers and Wall Street is a little too bullish, and they have been.
Well, a parallel example or an analogy, or maybe it's just simply an example, is when everybody and their brother is getting into real estate and maybe that's the time to get out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we saw that back in, the 07, 08 period. I mean, people that were, I'm not putting anybody down, but, you know, people that were, you know, maybe they were working part-time something and they got into real estate, and everybody, their brother, the classes were full. So maybe the time, when things are appearing to be very strong, or maybe starting to pull back a little bit, as you've described some of these warning signs, maybe that's the time to reevaluate.
Right. Another one that I like to use is the high five effect. When you bought, let's say, a stock or an index, and you have made so much money that you're high-fiving everybody, that's the time to sell. And so that's a little indicator I have that I sometimes use. The one thing that's interesting is that although many of the professionals are bullish and financial writers, the retail investor has not been as bullish. They've actually been neutral, which is really interesting. And a lot of people said, well, we need the retail investor to be so bullish, then we'll know that's the time to sell. But that hasn't happened.
That's an interesting aspect. It's a bit of a disconnect. And so does that speak further to some of this apathy that you've described, or some of the, and then the sluggishness and the, you know, that there's just, okay. And there's also some of this self-fulfilling prophecy. Everybody keeps talking about it potentially going down. It may very well lead to it.
Right. There's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And there's been so many people crying wolf. I mean, ever since 2009, the bottom, people have been saying the market's going to crash, the market's going to crash. So people just turned it off, especially since they've been wrong. But this time, I would say there are enough clues and indicators to say that at the very least the market is dangerous. And, you know, I would never say that, you know, predict a crash. I cannot do that. So, but you can say you have a dangerous market and let's move more to cash.
Fair enough. Michael Sincere, ladies and gentlemen, I think we have some sincere comments, and it's not the first time Michael's heard that. MichaelSincere.com. The book is Predict the Next Bull or Bear Market and When, and good, insightful information to understand how this stuff works. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back with Michael. Stay right there.
Have you considered an annuity as part of your retirement plan? Did you know that over the past 10 years, Americans put a staggering $2.3 trillion into annuities? Despite their popularity, many people are unsure about annuities. Why? Because annuities have been attacked for decades by financial folks who offer competing products or services. A lot of money is at stake. So you can imagine that financial firms who only offer investments don't want you to consider an annuity. Get the facts. Call Holland Financial to get your free copy of Annuities as Part of Your Retirement Plan. This booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities, as well as straightforward information about their costs, features, safety, and income potential. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Sincere on the line with me. We're talking about the markets and some of the danger signs and maybe some of time for some reevaluation. And a couple of things I want to make sure we got to, Michael, that I had in my little list here of getting some of your insight and expertise on this is one of the things that has... quite candidly, I will confess, baffled me a little bit, is the drop in oil prices. And, of course, that thankfully this time has translated to some decrease in the price of gas at the pump. As of, you know, the date here we're recording the program, because we'll put this in our vault and have it for future reference, but the oil is around 96 or so bucks a barrel for the West Texas Intermediate. So, it wasn't long ago. It was well over 100. I'm seeing all this Middle East stuff. Is it the supply is coming online and continuing to strengthen enough to offset or more than offset some of that uncertainty? Or is some of the uncertainty just not trickling through or affecting the oil prices? What's your take?
Well, my take is that when I see commodities acting unusually like that, which I can't really say why, I have to admit, I look at it and I also am confused by it. I thought it would be much higher. I also thought gold would be much higher, considering all the uncertainty going on in the world and the geopolitical problems.
Right.
And when I see commodities acting in ways that don't make sense, to me that's another warning sign.
Okay, okay. So I'm not the only one that thinks that's strange.
Oh, very strange. Yeah, I, you know, often with things like that, you find out afterwards. You'll find out after why, and that's why. Like, I wouldn't be trading oil. Probably stay away from gold right now, just for those reasons.
Well, see, we need to know. We need to know, Michael. We need you to tell us why these things are. No, I know what you mean. We find out after. You know, Warren Buffett says you don't find out who's been swimming naked until the tide goes out. So. I'd rather not have that image in my mind or have to to find out that way. But we are very curious. I think, you know, the investment community, you know, some of these things are strange. And the, you know, right, you know, gold is still just north of $1,300 an ounce. And, you know, with some of this strange behavior, we'll call it, the geopolitical bumps and wrinkles and some serious concerns that I just, especially the oil, that I guess that's got me really, I guess what I have to think is that there's just not enough of a risk to the supply yet, but it definitely is odd.
It is odd, and a lot of times there is a delayed reaction.
Good point, good point.
That's why it's so important to, one of probably the most important thing for investors to do is to sit and wait when they've made a certain investment. I mean, that's the hardest thing for people to do, is to be patient. I don't mean buy and hold. I mean take a position and or even if you're thinking of a position, sit and wait for the right opportunity. And right now with oil, you know, I don't trade oil
right
per se, but I do watch it. I mean, if it gets to a point where it looks like it's bottoming out, that would probably be, that could be a good opportunity. But you have to sit and wait for that opportunity.
Yeah, and I'm definitely not an oil trader, nor do we recommend people trade oil, but it is one of our, as you obviously agree, is another barometer to look at. And the 10-year treasuries also have broken that 2.5% to 3% yield to maturity trading range we've seen of late, down now below the 2.5%. So that's telling us that there's definitely money moving into treasuries, bidding up the price, which is another indicator of some pullback from maybe some of the quote-unquote smart money out there going more into those bonds as opposed to staying in the stock market.
Hey, right, right. And bonds is something, especially the 10-year treasury, I watch very closely. And that's another one that hasn't really made sense. It's almost like stocks and bonds have completely gone in their own directions. And they usually kind of had an inverse relationship, and now they're just kind of going off. And again, that's a clue. My feeling is, and I can't prove it, is that bonds may at some point sell off. There was that big warning maybe a year ago, less than a year ago, and I think we could revisit that. That's something I'm just watching, because I think a lot of people went into bonds. Sometimes when too many people get into one trade, the opposite can occur.
You're exactly right, Michael. And I've seen that. We've been through this before. And if there, again, is also a time for people to be reevaluating where they are, now's a good time, especially with bonds, based on what you've just said. We've got to be careful. And if they haven't already looked at potentially shortening up their portfolios and maturities, I know in our portfolios, we've done that. We've taken a continued review of that and even looked at alternatives, seeking other ways to protect our clients with safe vehicles that will help us avoid that potential bond devaluation when we have that sell-off and or related to, you know, some interest rates starting to jump up when some of that shifts, and they are acting independently. We can see both of them. We can see both bonds and stocks go down.
Right. It's just, to summarize, you could say that this environment with the geopolitical, with the way commodities are acting, the way bonds are acting, it is, you really need your A game. You really have to observe more than any other time. And that's why when I see like the complacent numbers, like on the VIX, I'm like, are you kidding? This is the time to really pay attention more than any other. And you don't want to be lulled to sleep just because the market has gone up for 5 years. So this is the time to really pay attention.
Well, and you're exactly right, Michael. And on top of all of that, we have the Federal Reserve continuing its taper, which, you know, I guess the pundits and experts are telling us sometime in the fall of 2014. So that also gets wrapped around as a nice big bow around everything you just described as some of the concerns and some of the things that makes this market a little bit dangerous because of some of the things that make it different.
Right, right. There's just so many parts that are moving, so many moving parts. And again, all around is the geopolitical, which is going to affect the market. I mean, it's amazing that it hasn't affected the market as much as it, considering what is going on. And yes, the Fed is the 800-pound gorilla in the room. And what they do, all they have to do is say, we're going to stop tapering or limit it, and that could change the game very quickly.
There are a lot of things. That's another double underline for you, Michael. There are a lot of game changers potentially all in play at the same time. It's kind of like playing poker with three or four wild cards. So it's not just one wild card. We've got several. Well, excellent, Michael. I really appreciate you coming on and giving us the benefit of your insight Michael Sincere, ladies and gentlemen, columnist for MarketWatch, author. The book is Predict the Next Bull or Bear Market and When, michaelsincere.com. And Michael, you will definitely have to come back and share more of your insights with us on another program.
Oh, I'd love to, David. Thanks so much for inviting me.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.